بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Honorable Imam, my dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Years pass and we are here again commemorating the anniversary of Ashura, the revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and his great legacy. There is a question, or as a matter of fact, there are questions about why and what is the reason that we, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein every year? How significant that is in our faith, in our school of thought. And some people think that this is a habitual thing in our communities, that we get together every year, mourn Imam Hussein, shed some tears for him, or for ourselves, offer our respect and our love to the Prophet, and that's it, and it's over. The reality is, my dear brothers and sisters, is that the reason we commemorate Imam Hussein is way beyond that. It goes back to the core principles of Islam. And if you read the history of Islam, you find that there are two categories of enemies who posed imminent threats to our faith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged His Prophet, His Messenger in the Quran to fight them both, and to be careful of their threat. The first enemies are the pagans, the kuffar, the external enemies of Islam. And the second category are the munafiqeen, the internal enemies of Islam. So let me take you to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَاخْلُضْ عَلَيْهِمْ. The Quran says, Allah says to the Prophet that, O the Prophet, struggle with kuffar, with the pagans, and with the hypocrites, and be tough on them. Now the history of the Prophet so it shows that he only fought against the kuffar, against Mecca, the pagans in Mecca, against pagans elsewhere. The Prophet went to 83 battles and wars. None of them were with the munafiqeen, with the hypocrites, with the internal enemies of Islam. They were all with the external enemies of Islam, with the kuffar, with the pagans. Those who did not believe, neither in their heart nor in their tongue. And we know that the Prophet is so obedient to the orders, to the commandments of Quran. Then how come he did not fight with the munafiqeen? And believe me, the threat that the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, those who entered Islam physically, yet they never believed in Islam in their heart, and they were planning for years to manipulate our faith. Their threat is more serious than the threat of the pagans, because they are insiders. They are in your home, and they are planning for inside to demolish that holy structure built by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So who was supposed to fight with them? Allah is ordering the Prophet to fight with both enemies because they are both dangerous. The Prophet himself fought with the first category, with the kuffar. And he left his progeny, his cousin Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and his grandson Imam Hussein to fight with the second one. And that's why he says to Imam Ali, the Prophet says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, سَتُقَاتِلُهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَأْوِيلِهِ كَمَا قَاتَلْتُهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَنْزِيلِهِ. You will be fighting the enemies of Islam on the interpretation of Quran as I fought with them on the revelation of Quran. We have interpretation and we have revelation. The pagans fought with the Prophet over the revelation, over the Quran itself. They rejected Quran. And that's why they fought with him. And the munafiqeen, the inside enemies, rejected the interpretation of Quran. So who was supposed to fight with them and make the final fight with them in order to have Islam established so well? It was the family of the Prophet, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Imam Hussein. And no wonder that the Prophet uses this term. Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. What does this mean? That Husayn is part of me and I am part of him. Some people naively interpret it this way, that since Imam Husayn is the grandson of the Prophet, this is how he could be part of his grandfather. Well, this is nonsense. We know that every grandchildren is part of his grandfather. The Prophet is not telling us anything new by telling us, if that's what he meant, that Hussein is my grandson. Everybody knew that Hussein is his grandson. What did he mean by Hussein is part of me? What he meant is Hussein is a small copy of the Prophet. He is a duplicate of the Prophet. He represents a Prophet. When the Prophet had departed, He resembled the Prophet in the society. And let me go one step further. There is an ayah in the Quran, a surah actually, a chapter. Probably most of you memorized that surah in the Quran. This chapter was revealed to the Prophet the year he conquered Mecca. And Mecca became part of the Islamic state. And thousands of Meccans entered Islam. Listen to the tone of the surah. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Allah says, when the victory of Allah and His conquest comes, and you will see people are entering the faith of Allah groups. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Then praise your Lord, واستغفر, and seek repentance to Him. Now, the ayah says, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. People are entering, you see, people are entering into the faith of your Lord groups. The ayah did not say that the faith entered them. They entered the faith. What is the difference between the two? The difference is this. Allah says in another ayah, لا تقولوا أسلم آمنا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. Some people came to the Prophet, superficial Muslims. They came to the Prophet doing him a favor that we became a Muslim. And since we became Muslims, you have to appreciate us. And we're mu'min. Hey, stop. Don't say we are mu'min, believers. Say we're Muslims. Say we are Muslims. Don't say we are believers, because the faith yet had not entered your heart. When the faith enters your heart, then you can say we are believers. But when you only surrender to Islam officially, and you utter the two testimonies of Islam, you're only a Muslim. You can only claim to be a Muslim. You enter the faith when the faith enters you, when you're a believer. So, when is the time that Islam had to struggle to distinguish between those who only took Islam superficially? They said it with their tongues, yet they never believed in their heart. Who would be in charge of that process? It was Ahlul Bayt. It was Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, when we read the history of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, Imam Hussein speaks about his role. He speaks about his role as the leader of Islam, not only as the grandson of the Prophet. For the day when the Muawiyah died, the father of Yazid, and the regional ruler, the governor of Medina, dispatched someone to bring Imam Hussein, to invite him over to the governor mansion. The Imam came. And the governor of Medina told the Imam that Muawiyah died. And Yazid, his son, was chosen to be the Khalifa. And I send after you so you would pledge allegiance to Yazid, as it is the tradition in the Arab societies and even in the Islamic society. When a new ruler is chosen, elected, Muslims pledge allegiance to him. The man wanted Imam Hussein to pledge allegiance to Yazid. Imam Hussein refused. But he explained why he refused to pledge allegiance to Yazid. Listen to this. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, Ya Amir, إن يزيد رجل فاسق قاتل شارب للخمر قاتل للنفس المحترمة ومثلي لا يبايع مثله. He told him, listen, Yazid is a joke. Yazid, a man who drinks, a man who murders innocent lives, a man who is loose in his faith, and a man like me would never pledge allegiance to Yazid, to a man like him. Now, this is my point, my dear brothers and sisters. Imam Hussein didn't say, I do not pledge allegiance to Yazid. He says, a man like me would not, should not, cannot pledge allegiance to Yazid. It is not personal. The Imam who feels that he is in charge of his grandfather's religion's affairs, the man who feels that he represents his grandfather, the messenger of Allah, cannot make that compromise. And that's why he refused, he rejected Yazid. And that's why Imam Hussein alayhi salam envisioned his destiny. Imam Hussein knew he will be killed. He knew he will be murdered by Yazid. And believe me, that was the plan. If you read the history of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, since day one Imam Hussein was born, the Prophet, his grandfather, dealt with him as a martyr from day one. When Fatima gave birth to Imam Hussein, the news came to the Prophet that Fatima gave birth. The Prophet came. He came to Fatima's house to congratulate her first, and also to bless that baby. The Prophet took him. And when he took Imam Hussein alayhi salam in his lap, Jibreel came down. قال يا رسول الله أتحبه? Do you love this baby? قال نعم. Of course I love him. This is part of my heart. Of course I love him. I love him beyond you imagine. Because I really feel that Hussein is a piece of me. Now the bad news came. Well, you can interpret it bad news or good news. It depends how we perceive it. How we perceive martyrdom. There are painful news, but not necessarily bad news. Jibreel told the Prophet, قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَا أُخْبِرُكَ أَنَّ وَلَدَكَ هَذَا سَيُقْتَلُ عَلَى يَدِ عِصَابَةٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِكَ. Now the Prophet is busy fighting the pagans. Jibreel is telling him that your grandson will be murdered, will be martyred by people who call themselves officially Muslims, yet they are hypocrites. They don't believe in Islam. They only superficially believe in Islam. The Prophet wept, and then Salama looked at the Prophet, his wife, looked at the Prophet weeping. She says, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What's wrong with you? I cannot see you weeping. It's such happy day. You have to be so excited over this beautiful baby Allah has given you. So the Prophet told Salama. He told her that my son, my grandson Hussein will be martyred. He will be martyr of Islam only because he wants to revive Islam. Only because he is following his father, his grandfather's footsteps. And ever since Imam Hussein was being prepared, he was being prepared to play that role. To renovate Islam. You know, there is a Sunni scholar, Mu'in al-Din al-Ajmiri. He has a beautiful saying. He says, إِذَا كَانَ الْإِسْلَامُ مُحَمَّدِيَ الْوِجُودِ. If Islam pays great deal of respect to the Prophet for its establishment and for its foundation and for its inception, Islam must pay a great deal of respect to Imam Hussein for its survival. Because it was Imam Hussein who made Islam to survive with his revolution. So when Imam Hussein alayhi salam leaves Mecca to Karbala, he make that a great speech in which he envisions his destiny. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, خُطَّ الْمَوْتُ عَلَى وُلْدِ آدَمَ مَخَطَّ الْقِلَادَةِ عَلَى جِيدِ الْفَتَاتِ. He says, death surrounds every human being exactly like a necklace surround a neck of a girl or a woman. وَمَا أَوْلَهَنِي إِلَىٰ أَسْلَافِي إِشْتِيَاقَ يَعْقُوبَ إِلَىٰ يُوسِفَ. I am so eager to meet my predecessors as Jacob was so eager to meet his son Joseph. وَخِيرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ أَنَ لَاقِيهِ. Listen to this. Imam Hussein says, a destiny has been chosen for me that I will surely will meet it. كأني بأوصالي تقطعها عسلان الفلوات. I can envision my parts being gripped off by the wolves of the desert. Human wolves. بين النواويس وكربلا. In such area. نواويس and كربلا. That is the historic name of that area. It's located between كربلا and نواويس. فَيَمْلَأْنَ مِنِّي أَكْرَاشًا جُوفًا وَأَجْرِبَةً سُغُبًا. They fill their stomachs with my parts. Then he says, لَا مَحِيصَ عَنْ يَوْمٍ خُطَّ لَا مَحِيصَ عَنْ يَوْمٍ خُطَّ بِالْقَلَمِ. That day is so inevitable. the day I am martyred. And I can envision myself as a martyr. Then he says, رِضَ اللَّهِ رِضَانَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ نَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ قَضَائِهِ وَيُوَفِّينَا أُجُورَ الصَّابِرِينَ. The satisfaction of Allah is part of our satisfaction. So do not people think that I'm going aimlessly. I have a vision. I have a goal to fulfill. And when the night he leaves Medina, his hometown, he goes to the grave of the Prophet, his grandfather. He sleeps there. He's visiting the Prophet. All of a sudden, he sleeps. He fell asleep. He sees the Prophet in his dream. The Prophet is asking, Imam Hussein is asking the Prophet to join him. He says, my grandfather, allow me to join you. I don't like to go back to this life, to this miserable life, to live under agony and aggression of Yazid. I don't like to go back. The Prophet says to him, Ala bunay Hussein, inna laka darajatan 'inda Allah la tanaluha illa bishahada. I love to see you too. I love to have you with me, but you have to understand that you cannot join me unless you are ripped off by the swords of the enemies of Allah. Unless you meet your martyrdom and you become a martyr. This is your destiny. Because you are the savior of Islam. And there is no other person who shall save Islam but you. Because you represent me. And now you have a big challenge, big responsibility that you have to meet. And that's why Imam Hussein came to Karbala. He faced his destiny willingly. He never feared that. It is a painful story when we read about Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the tragedy of Karbala. It breaks every heart. But do you ever think that Imam Hussein was reluctant? No way. At all. Was he regretful for coming to Karbala? No. That was a very wise decision he made. By the way, my dear brothers and sisters, when Imam Hussein was leaving from Karbala, from Medina, going to Mecca first, and from Mecca he went to Karbala, some friends came to him. For example, like his cousin Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, the cousin of Imam Hussein. Not first cousin, second cousin. He said to Imam Hussein, I love you so much. And I am so worried about you. I'm afraid you go to Iraq, people will kill you. You cannot trust people in Kufa. They betrayed your father. They betrayed your brother Hassan. And they may betray you. They may let you face your destiny. And they may let you down. Don't go. What does Imam Hussein say to him? Imam Hussein had something in mind. He cannot speak so much about it. He has a goal in his mind. He doesn't want to talk much about it. He is waiting for the future, for the near future to unfold so people would know where he was going and what he was aiming to. Nobody, not many people knew what he meant. The Imam said to him, gave him a very brief statement. He says, Sha'allahu an yarani qatila. Allah decided and willed to see me a martyr. Then he asked him, if you're going to meet your martyrdom, then why are you taking your sisters with you? Why are you taking those women with you? Ibn Abbas is asking. Again, Ibn Abbas is not up to the challenge. He cannot see what Imam Hussein is seeing. Ibn Abbas cannot envision the future as Imam Hussein did. Imam Hussein says to him, Sha'allahu an yarahunna sabaya. Allah willed to see them as war prisoners. What does this mean? It meant that Imam Hussein knew what he was doing. There was a plan, he was going. There was a blueprint, and Imam Hussein was going through that blueprint. There was no way for Islam to be saved unless Imam Hussein is killed in Karbala. So his martyrdom can create a powerful sense of awareness among Muslims. Because people were asleep. Believe me, they were sleeping at the time of Imam Hussein. In deep sleep. And no matter how many sermons Imam Hussein would deliver to them, yet they were sleeping. I give you example of that. A proof of that. Do you know when Imam Hussein left Mecca to Karbala? What day? What day was it? The day that all people, probably a million people, were going to Arafat to perform Hajj. Imam Hussein left Mecca that day. He left Mecca, he didn't do Hajj. Everybody was heading to Mecca to perform Hajj. One man with a few companions left Mecca in that day and did not perform Hajj. He went to Iraq. Why is that? Imam Hussein wanted to send a message to people. What do you do with your Hajj if the Bani Umayyah, if the Amawis are promoting a new paganism in Islam? Hajj. Hajj will be a joke then. If you people are going to Arafat to perform Hajj, yet the Umayyad dynasty are promoting a new kind of paganism in Islam, then that Hajj won't help you at all. You're not going to benefit from your Hajj. Because Hajj is a branch in Islam. Imamah, Nubuwwah, Tawheed, believe in Allah's oneness, in the prophethood of the Prophet, is a major principle in Islam. Believe in freedom and rejecting aggression is the main principle in Islam. Hajj is not going to help you people if you are distracted from the plan that Amawis are planning for you. Imam Hussein left Mecca that day, heading to Karbala, planning for his revolution in Karbala. I think my time is over. Inshallah, we'll continue this discussion, bi-idhnillah. Imam Hussein, I encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, to join us every day, inshallah. The lecture will start at 6 p.m. tomorrow. Quran will start 10 minutes to 6, so we can start the lectures at 6. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ika wa anafat birahlik. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.